I was in a church that felt like it could have been built in the Middle Ages someplace in Europe. A gorgeous stained glass window, a little bit bigger than these. Picturing a woman warrior saint stood above me, sunlight streaming through her. I sat on a prayer stool on the red cobblestone floor. The ceilings vaulted up seemingly forever above me. Ornate stone carvings of Bible stories wrapping around me. I was sweating, though, because I wasn't in a moody English country cathedral, but in a Philadelphia church at the end of a scorching July. I didn't care. I had my notebook open to capture my heart's desires. My assignment for 20 minutes, 20 blessed minutes alone, to pray and think while on a retreat during my sabbatical time. What do you desire? Was my one writing and prayer prompt. I was to make a list. Without judging myself or trying to make sense of anything or prioritizing. Just a list of what I wanted. In our culture, most of us aren't taught to value our desires as spiritual wisdom. It's strange, really. We come from a tradition of incarnation, a tradition where we're taught that God came into the world to live within us and among us. We come from a tradition going back to our text today from the prophet Jeremiah. Hi, sweetie. Have fun listening. We come from a tradition going back to our text today from the prophet Jeremiah that also whispers of this God inside of us, a living script upon our hearts to guide us into right relationship with each other and ourselves. And yet, we aren't taught to trust the desires that come from our bodies, our hearts, our very beings, by much of the modern church. Well, unless we can satisfy those desires with a purchase of some kind, thanks to the church of capitalism. But that's not the kind of desire our scripture calls us into, or that the church ancients and elders draw us towards. Jeremiah lived in desperate times, where there was actually probably very little to buy, let alone the possibility for anything like retail therapy. As one scholar puts it, Jeremiah lived through the demise of his civilization when the Babylonians invaded Judah, assaulted Jerusalem, and reduced the temple to rubble, exiling or killing the royal family, priests, prophets, and the majority of the population. In Judah, in 586 BCE, when Jeremiah lived, broken families would have been ravaged by grief and loss. Those left behind would have had to scramble to find surviving relatives and a place to sleep if their homes had been destroyed. Produce and food animals were either destroyed or taken. Every object of value was plundered. And anyone with any authority or skill to help to rebuild was dead or gone. And if that weren't enough, many feared that their collective sins as a people had caused God to abandon them and let their enemies plunder them. Into this horror, the prophet Jeremiah speaks a radical word. God is still there. I will make a new covenant with you, he speaks on behalf of God. And God, through Jeremiah, continues tenderly to remind the people of when he took their ancestors' hands in their time of desperate chaos, fleeing another oppressive war-making power. But God doesn't stop there. She promises herself to them, not just in the abstract, but to make a home inside their hearts for herself so they will never need fear that she will leave them again. Just as God always has, God dwells in our hearts too. Listening to our desires is one of the ways we listen to this God who rests inside of us. Quoting Elizabeth Liebert, who is in turn paraphrasing the founder of the Jesuit monks, Ignatius of Loyola, when we know our deepest desires, we know something important not only about ourselves, but also about God, as our deepest desires come from and point to that same God. It was an Ignatian exercise of tracking desire that I was practicing as I sat in that church in Philadelphia listening to the silence. So this morning, we are in our own beautiful church, and I ask that you join me in this exercise. We're going to settle into some time to listen to God, who has written on our hearts. We're going to settle into some time to listen to our desires. I just want to clarify that desire is a window onto God, and that sometimes it gets a little marred with fingerprints and mess. In other words, some desires lead us deeply towards the divine, and some of them are just momentary impulses. Often our desires can feel in conflict with each other. The point of this exercise is just to give ourselves some time and some much-needed societal permission to listen to our desires without judgment. So just let them speak. And don't try and make them make any kind of sense. It's only after we've listened without judgment that we can look more carefully at what's emerged and start to figure out the layers of that desire that are true to ourselves and the divine. So there is an orangey pink piece of paper that's folded in your bulletin. Take that out. Don't unfold it. You're not going to need the printed side. The printed side is a version of this exercise for you to take home with you if you want to do more with it. And if you don't have a pen, Rebecca, would you mind helping pass out those pens that are up front? You're just going to need a pen, that piece of paper, and maybe your hymnal to serve as a table. Put everything else down and make yourself as comfortable as you can. If you want to get up and sit somewhere else in the room on the floor, that's fine, up to you. Pens, anyone else need pens? Raise your hand. Great. So let's just take a moment to settle into ourselves. Notice where there might be tension or aches in your body and see if you can shift to make those parts feel a little more comfortable. Notice your breathing, but don't try and change it and make it more meditative or anything fancy. And see if you can give your mind permission to stop judging you or planning or making to-do lists or whatever its favorite busy habits might be. And write down this question. What do I want right this minute? What do I want right this minute? We're going to spend about 5 minutes with this question. I recommend that as things emerge, just write a note down. Make a list. Don't write an essay. We want your mind not to get in the way, so keep it simple. Now, will you pray with me? Holy One, written onto our hearts from the beginning, help us to listen for you in ourselves. Help us to listen to our desires without judgment or hesitation, but with kindness and care. Let us begin. Now pause. Pause and take a look back over your list. Is there any one want that feels most full of energy, most important or alive for you right now? When you find one that feels like you want to sit with it a little more, ask yourself, what desire is underneath this desire? What desire is even more basic and true for me? We don't have time right now to keep peeling the layers back, but as you go through this week, if you feel moved, keep this paper nearby. Come back to that list and that particular desire that feels most alive for you. And sit again with the question, what desire is underneath this desire? Until you find some clarity. Try to sit with that desire without judgment, but with a kind of gentle curiosity for what your heart is revealing about God within you. This exercise was a large part of my prayer practice over my sabbatical. Through the flurry of wants and needs that surfaced each time I did this, what emerged was a primary piece of my identity that needed my love and my time again. As a pastor, I am first and foremost not a teacher or a preacher or an organizational systems builder or a fundraiser or a communicator or a caregiver. I desire to be a student of the divine. If I am not first God's student, I cannot be any of the rest with sustainability or integrity. That word we have, disciple, Jesus uses it a lot. It means student of the divine. It means practicing being God's student. I give thanks to the God who makes a home in my heart. I give thanks to the God who is nestled in each of your hearts. I really try each time we meet for pastoral care or a business meeting to be a student of that God who lives within you. May we trust the promise, the covenant, the God of our ancestors made to be there always, always with us. Amen.